Welcome to the scorching arena of valor and the crucible of courage. This is the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Here in the inferno of life's greatest challenges, heroes are shaped and legends are born. Every episode is a torchlight of wisdom, casting a glow on the paths walked by those who've braved the flames and emerged stronger. In this furnace of fortitude, we'll explore tales of resilience, bravery, and the unyielding human spirit. Each guest brings their own spark of insight, lighting up the darkness and guiding us through the smoke of adversity. With Fireman Rob at the helm, prepared to delve into conversations that smolder with significance and stories that kindle the soul. It's not just a podcast, it's a beacon for all who seek to rise from the ashes and glow with purpose. So stoke the fires of your curiosity and ready your heart for tales of triumph and transformation. The flames are roaring. The stage is ablaze. Welcome to the Forged in the Fires podcast. Let the journey begin.
All right, welcome back to Forged in the Fires podcast. I'm your host, Fireman Rob. Today's guest, oh yes, he is a doctor. Yes, he's a chiropractor, but you know what? He's like, you know, that's not enough. I want to be a three-time author. I want to be a podcaster. I want to be a speaker. And oh yes, he is an international business success coach. You know, I just want to call him Dr. Vic, but it's Dr. Vic Manzo. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, I'm excited to be here, brother. Thanks for having me.
Oh man, it's so awesome reading. Well, one, you're a chiropractor, a pediatric chiropractor, nonetheless. That had to be difficult because there's not much, they can help you with. But at the same time, it's got to be stressful. How was that journey to that practice?
You know, I hit a roadblock about 5 years into my practice. You know, I had the bragging rights of how successful and all this other stuff, And I felt that, you know, there was a need for this, and it's an awakening. Chiropractic is one of the most misunderstood professions in the world.
Oh, completely. I mean,
you talk to the public of what chiropractic is, and you're just, I always like, go, well, okay, we got some work to do here. Yeah. So you take that to a pediatric level.
That's crazy.
People look at that like, why does a kid need to see you? They're not in pain. And the conversation has always been neurodevelopment. Child's brain doubles in the first year, right? And your neurosynapses, so these are connections between each neuron. When they're first born, you're about 1,000 to 2,000. And by year one, it's 10,000 to 20,000. Then it may not seem like a lot. That's 10xing. But that's a lot. But wait, let's take it even further. There's 100 billion neurons in a developing brain. So you take one neuron, 10 to 20,000 connections, multiply that by 100 billion. Now we're talking numbers that are just crazy.
Wow.
How much you want to make sure your child's brain is developing in the way it's the best optimally designed that it can. That's where pediatric chiropractic comes in. We help people, you know, and from that, when I've spoken from that level, then all of a sudden parents, and especially I work with moms most of the time, they'd be going, yeah, I want to know as soon as I can. I want my kid to be the best that I possibly can. And so it's that conversation, because here's the beautiful thing that I've learned through this. And this is what made me want to make the shift to pediatrics, was we only have it till the age of two. After that, the architect of the brain is set neurologically. So you're just working on it. You're just working, managing neurological stuff now. And so I'm like, holy cow, this is critically important.
Yeah. No,
more than anything else.
Yeah, this explains a lot for myself.
it did for me too.
I must have stayed in that 15 neurons. Oh man, well that's astonishing, and that's the age of two. So I have to say, like, a lot of the stuff that you figured out with chiropractic, and a lot of the stuff that you've learned with chiropractic, has to help you in the success coaching side, understanding the human behind the success.
Absolutely. I mean, all the mindset stuff, you know, in chiropractic, we talk a lot about mental, emotional component being the biggest thing that affects a human being. And I always heard it, but no one ever went deeper. And I was like, I want to know how does that play a role in the nervous system and how this, and it took me on a journey through neuroscience. I love quantum physics, and I got quantum physics opened up the door to whole.
Wait a second. Quantum physics. Holy cow, man. All your neurons are there. Let's put that. Yeah. Now you can keep going. I just wanted to make sure everybody knew.
I just love to learn and I love to know why.
It's amazing. Right?
And if I don't feel 100% congruent or I feel good with an answer, I'm going to keep digging until I get it. Oh. And I wanted, from the coaching side, it really opened up the door because I wanted to understand, you know, everyone says the difference between someone who's successful and someone isn't is their mindset. And I was like, okay, that's great. You can harvest a good mindset, but there's knee-jerk reactions that people have. Why do people have different knee-jerk reactions that put them in a certain state?
Yep.
And that's where my journey of understanding the mind, neuroscience, subconscious mind, more importantly, and wanting to go, okay, there's something there. Let me work on myself first. And that's what I did. And then once I was like, my whole entire projecting success totally shifted, limiting beliefs on money and all this other stuff. And all I did was just change the beliefs, working on my subconscious. And then my whole entire business changed. And I was like, you know, I'm getting tired of seeing the business advice of grind, hustle, sweat equity, you know, that leads just to more burnout, more exhaustion, more deplete of mental health. Right. Yep. And so I was like, business owners need to know there's a different way. We can get away. Newtonian physics is great and we need it. But at the same token, quantum takes it to a whole different realm to learn how to work smarter, not harder. I'm not saying you don't have to still do the work. You're going to have to. And that's one of the people take my message and they kind of construe it in a different way.
Right.
It's just how do we utilize our energy to be the most impactful while also leading the life of what it is we want, which I teach is fulfillment. Yes. It's not just making a lot of money. That I think there's a shift in humanity where we're starting to pull away from that. At least the clients that I work with are like, I want to be successful, but I want to have also time with my family, which is more important than that, and doing all these other things. I'm like, well, we're going to work on all that. And so the chiropractic really had me understand the neuroscience of how people react, how they you know react to one, how to change the brain. It gave me that platform or that
foundation
to understand. Then when we make these changes, it's neurological and it's just going to take time and it's a process. Just it's the same verbiage that I tell patients when they come into my office and they want care, whether if it's a kid, whether if it's an adult, a pregnant woman, it's the same thing. I'm going, this is going to take time. We're rewiring your brain to be in a different state, to be more optimally, more functioning. I'm rewiring a client's brain to break away from those old patterns, which is a lot of work, to find more of that fulfillment and lead more of the life that they choose, what they truly want.
It so aligns with your chiropractic work because it's no different than chiropractic work where it takes time and you're realigning something for greater purpose of the whole body. It's such a great congruency. I love the statement that you have on your website, empoweryourreality.com. Make sure you go there. If you don't, you're missing out on a lot of things. You say there are no rules to life except the ones you create. Tell me more about that because that is an exciting phrase.
Yeah. So let's take it from a quantum physics perspective. So something simple, something called the observer effect. You can Google this. They did it in 1930s. And then in 1970s, they came out with lasers and were able to be more specific. And so what they wanted to understand is how does light react? Is it a wave? Is it a particle? And to save you on that whole entire explanation, long story short, they found out that the light only reacted, the photons reacted based if we were looking or observing or not. So when we weren't looking, there were wave pattern, which means kind of endless, infinite, you know, potentials, possibilities, so forth. And then when we observed or when we looked, it acted like a particle. And so what does that all mean for our life is that how we see things is what it becomes. And whatever how we look at something, and I want to take it a little further with a little neuroscience. I won't get into the depths of it all.
It's a lot. Remember, but- I'm, I'm a dumb fireman. Just I'm going to leave it at that.
You're fine.
I'll try to catch it.
I am too. I'm still learning. I love this. So, but they looked at the brain and they were looking at the neuroscience of how just the brain operates, right? How does something fire a neuron and all that? And they took quantum mechanics to it, and they were looking at saying, well, you know, how do we understand what is the one thing that makes consciousness tick in the brain? And they found out it's our will. And This comes to like biblical stuff, like thy will be done. How you see it is what it shall be. And some people may say, well, you know, that's great in theory, but I've done it. It doesn't work. Well, you have to realize that when you are 100% sold on something that this is what it's going to be, and that's the only option, and there's nothing else to it, and you're so convinced within yourself and believe that, then all of a sudden that all other possibilities collapse. It's called a state vector collapse. And what happens is our wave collapse. And so what that means is all the infinite possibilities that there are potentially out there, they all collapse. And the only one that exists is the one that you observe, your will, your purpose, or whatever.
Huh. That's simple crazy. As that. Now, when you talk about your will, talk to me more about the premise. Is that like your purpose? Is that like your passion, or is that something different?
No, it's anything how you see. So whatever, what are your like? If I believe something, I'm very passionate about it. I believe it. My energy's behind it. This is all that's going to be. And you don't allow what they call in quantum mechanics is conscious stream. So conscious stream just means what you're seeing in life. So let's say you want to be a millionaire. Right. And you believe that you are going to be a millionaire no matter what. And you're passionate about that. You see what the life that's going to bring for you, not just the material, every other thing's who you become. Right. So there's that passion. There's that energy behind that and so forth. But you look at your bank account, it doesn't reflect that at all. Maybe it's negative and you're paying late fees and all these or fees and all these other stuff. But if you stay in that state, knowing that, no, this is where I'm going regardless. That's pushing your will forward more rather than letting that conscious dream or your current reality affect that, because you see it and go, well, this is where I want to go, but here we go again. I got to go pay these bills, or I'm getting late fees now, overdraft fees, or whatever that is. And you let that beat you up, that lowers your energy.
Okay. Oh man, I love this stuff. Now I want to go into your book more. I want to go in Decoding the Matrix, Powerful Tips for Unleashing Your Potential and Accelerating Your Spiritual Awakening. Talk to me more about why did you want to write this book?
You know, books come to me. I always tell people, I get the credit of saying I wrote it, but it's something that just, after I wrote book number two, there was a point in time, I took a couple of years off, and all of a sudden I felt like a book was coming. Just like right now, I feel like book number four is coming, but it's not here yet.
Does it include me, Vic?
Yeah, there we go. Hey, I love it. Let's do it.
I like it. A collaboration. I love it.
I would love it.
The doc, you know, and the fireman.
Hey, that works for me. We're putting out fires in many different ways.
There we go.
Oh, I love this. And it's one of those things where it just came to me. But long story short, it was one of those things where I was like, man, I don't even know what I'm going to write. And then little at a time, I started to feel the world, see the world. And I started seeing this like conditioning and started to see these programs. And all of a sudden, like, okay, I can get with that. I see this. All right. I can write something about that.
Yeah.
And then Decoding the Matrix just came to me. And then that was the end of it. It's not like I started writing the book or anything. It wasn't for like a few months later, I got the feeling like, okay, I need to start writing. And so I did. And the whole purpose is to have people really awaken to understanding that we're all conditioned in some way, shape, or form. Right. We're all programmed, even myself. And the thing about that is you can be aware of it or you don't be aware of it. And that's going to determine who dictates their life and who doesn't. Who goes with emotions and just whatever shows up and they feel like they never have power over it. And then the other ones who do. And that's really what the Matrix kind of breaks that down. And I use examples like the billionaires during the pandemic, how their net worth went up like, I don't know, 50, 60%. And some people, and I do say that I'm like, well, that could have been some control mechanism. So let's ignore that one. But they're, you know, or influence can, you know, that's what I mean by influence. But the other thing was, as you look at, you know, another example is during the Great Depression, that's still the highest percentage of millionaires that ever created in the United States.
Is that correct? Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? One of the worst times when we look at economically in the United States trajectory, and yet still that was the most highest percentage of millionaires ever. And so I talk about how stepping into your vibes, breaking away from the conditioning, breaking away from the stories, kind of what I just shared with you is kind of the premise behind it is
right.
That will, right? Seeing things on how you want to see it, no matter what conscious stream or what's showing up in your in what people are saying and whatnot, influence you any way, shape, or form.
That's, I love that. Make sure you go to empoweryourreality.com. You can find out more about the book, about you. But I want to also dive into this new adventure that you're on of being a father.
It's the best one.
Oh, man. Decoding this one is going to be fun for you. talk to me more about how you've translated what you've learned into starting this family, starting being a father, being a great husband. How does that translate into that?
You know, one of the things I'd have to say that this journey has taught me in the 17 months is just appreciating the day and the moment.
Yes.
Like it's so like every, like I talk about this in my first book, like how we lost as human adults, we lose the essence of joy over 1,000 times watching the same movie and still loving it. my daughter teaches me that now, or I should say reminds me of it, because it's like I look and I watch and she'll do the same stuff over and over every single day and love it. Happy. Jump from one thing to the next. And I sit there and I'm like, that's the joy that I want to bring into my life. But it also teaches me the joy of the moments with her, because they're not going to last forever. I mean, she's only 17 months, but there's a lot of changes that happened already.
Oh, and trust me.
You know better than I do. And it's one of those things where just being able to, whether it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. It's just the joy of whatever shows up as an experience and knowing that maybe I have to bounce her at 2-3 in the morning and she's having a hard night of sleep and just not sleeping, or she's under the weather or whatever. Right. And it's like, but I'm not going to have that moment again. So enjoy whatever is here now for that experience. And those two things have been very monumental for me in just looking at life in general and understanding what really matters for life, like a whole value shift. It's crazy how much has shifted. But also just the how I approach life now so much more than in a different way than I used to before. Just like, you know, again, like I said, I thought I was doing good with being present time and all this other things, but no, it makes me want to deepen my relationships more. I think more mortality comes in more, knowing I won't be here forever. A lot of stuff. And it's only 17 months. I could talk for hours on this stuff, but so much. And I just, and I enjoy every moment I can.
It's such a powerful statement that you said. And I think a lot of people really need to take that to heart of enjoying that moment that you're in. I know that parents and even me and myself, you know, my kids are older now. I mean, they're, you know, 20s and, you know, my youngest is going to be 17. It's like this, it goes fast. It goes so fast. And if you don't embrace the moment, it's going to be gone. You just tick something in me. it is so hard. Like where does your consciousness go when you think about your future? Where does your consciousness go? What do you think about?
For me, when I look at my future now, like I've heard this before. There was a billionaire one time talking. He's like, "You don't know me, you guys, but you use my what I invented every single day." And it was something with the phone. And I wish I knew his name. It tells you how much I should have memorized it. But long story short, he was talking about like legacy and all this. And he was like, the legacy is not what I create. It's my kids. It's what putting my energy into them. And so for me and my wife and I, that's like the biggest, like when we see the future, it's like, how do we build and create kids who are resilient emotionally, but they're also, you know, they're willing to take the risks in life and know they have a support system to support them until they don't need it or whenever they want to use it, which is us. Right. And give to my kids what I didn't get growing up. And that's not, you know, a lot of times you hear that statement, it's always material, or like I want them to have this and that. And it's like, no, I want to teach my kids everything I didn't get as much as I possibly can, so I can help them be as well-rounded as I possibly could. Because I don't, my work with that, and that's why I try to tell parents all the time, is like the work you do with your kids and how you raise your kids and what you focus on with them. We're not going to be perfect. I tell my wife, we're not perfect, and we're going to make mistakes. And and we're going to program them. There's going to be programs in there that we messed up that's going to get in their subconscious, and we totally won't even be aware of it. But at the same token, though, it's like when we do that work at the level that my wife and I try to stay at, it not only helps create that legacy, but it also affects humanity.
That's true. Yeah, completely.
And it creates that ripple effect. And then all of a sudden, whoever's around her or my daughter, then all of a sudden they're affected by that, and it can make shifts and ripples and all that kind of stuff. So that's kind of where, when we look at long-term stuff, it's just, what are things, like my wife and I are always looking at, like, okay, what are things that we can do now for them to create experiences? What can we do to enrich their life as much as we possibly can while they're under our roof? And that's kind of how we look at things now.
I love that message, because it's the legacy. So many people think that they have to do such grandeur things to have a legacy in life. When, you know, my father in 2019 passed away from cancer, but his legacy with me and with so many other people that he coached and taught and was around is still lives in everybody's heart. And one of the biggest things he always said was control the controllables. And it's interesting. Like, what you're talking about is that individual legacy that a lot of times parents don't understand they're having in their future generations, right?
Exactly. And that's the key for us. And that's where that's everything about my future now. Like, if you talked to me 5-10 years ago, I've been telling you, this one I want to create, this one I want to do for the chiropractic profession, this one I want to do in the coaching industry, right? It was all that stuff.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, I don't really care. I mean, I have a vision and a passion. Don't get me wrong. There's some things I want to do. But I'm like, if it doesn't happen, I don't care.
Yeah.
Like, powerful. I have no more attachments to it. It's more of just, I do this because I enjoy it, and I know I'm making a difference in the world for what I'm doing there, but I know my real difference isn't there.
Right.
Nowhere can it, from an energy standpoint, from an impact standpoint, it can never match to what I can do working with my kids and giving them the best that I possibly can and all that I know from all the different backgrounds that I have.
Oh, you're completely right. You're completely right. Man, I love this conversation.
Me too. This is all up my alley.
I love it. I love it. Well, hey, it has been such an honor to have you on. You know, make sure you go to empoweryourreality.com to find out more about all these great things that Dr. Vic is doing. Are you ready for your final three questions?
Let's do it.
All right. So if you could go back to your 18-year-old self and give yourself one piece of advice, what would that be?
The one thing I would say when I was younger is just believe more in myself. I didn't have enough of that. And I know it's probably like a cliche a lot of people say, but for me, when I look back, I had belief, but I really didn't have belief in myself. I doubted a lot more.
Right.
And I was one of my worst enemies. If I just believed more and took more risk and be willing to fail and just know that I'll eventually work through all that, it'd have been a different story.
I love that. I love that. All right. Second one. Everybody has challenges and struggles in their life in different ways. If you could give them two habits to start to incorporate into their daily lives to continue to move forward, to continue to push forward, what would those two things be?
One, breathe more. Breath work resets that nervous system. Breathe more, reset your nervous system. It's going to get your energy back to be in a neutral state. You can see things differently because you'll access higher states of your mind by doing that. If the feelings are too overwhelming, even though breath work is very powerful, do some form of physical exertion. Whatever that is, working out, sprinting, running, something that gets you distracted to discharge that energy. I know kind of it's two different tips, but similar in some ways, but those are the two things that I highly recommend people to do, because then you can discharge the energy, reset yourself. And when you come back, you'll see things or whatever that is differently, that challenge differently than what you saw before.
That's powerful. Yeah, I completely agree. All right, this last one's always fun. If you could have coffee at a firehouse table, in other words, nothing is off the table, you can ask any question, it's going to be answered, with three people, they can be deceased or alive, who would those three people be?
I love this. Nikola Tesla, number one.
Yes.
Let's see, alive or dead. there's so many. Lao Tzu is another one.
You're getting a good table.
Oh, yeah. I love it. I'm trying to think. Lao Tzu, Nicholas. So I got the science and I got the spiritual esoteric guy. I'm trying to think who else would there. Love to hang out with Michael Jordan.
Oh, wow. I like it. I like it. Yeah. You got the whole kind of a gamut of consciousness.
You got Michael, who's still, to me, he's the GOAT. I don't care what anyone says, but what he did for basketball and how he changed things and being a world figure from what
before there was social media.
Yeah. Before. It's just like when you look at Michael Jackson, right? I heard some young kids listening to Michael Jackson. I go, this guy has transcended so many generations. It's just without social media. It just blows my mind.
It's awesome. I love it. Well, Dr. Vic, it's been an honor to have you on. Make sure you go to empoweryourreality.com. There's so much more. He also has a great podcast called The Mindful Experiment. It is in the top 1% of podcasts globally. That is unreal. So thank you so much for joining me today, Dr. Vic.
No, thanks for having me. This was a blast.
Love it.
Thanks for listening and supporting the Forged in the Fires podcast with Fireman Rob. Remember, don't forget to like and subscribe to this podcast. And please share this episode with a friend or family member. To find out more about Fireman Rob, or if you have a question, go to www.firemanrob.com. Until next time, live your life forged in the fires.